Well, the lavender plant is associated with hot, dry Mediterranean weather. So can you grow it in Wisconsin? You bet you can. This is Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Our guests are Kathy and Randy Meyer of Potter Creek Lavender in Pulaski. We're going to ask them about their business and how to select and grow the best lavender varieties for our climate. Have you had problems growing lavender? What questions do you have for them? Join the conversation, the number 800-642-1234, or you can always send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kathy, Randy, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hi, thanks again. This is probably not a real busy time for you all in the lavender patch.
Nope, they're sleeping.
They're sleeping. I love it. I love it. So, Kathy, tell us how Potter Creek Lavender got started.
Well, it is a long story. I'll try to make it pretty brief. We visited our daughter out when she lived in Washington and accidentally happened upon lavender farms and fell in love with them and decided maybe we could see if we could do that in Wisconsin. And there we are.
Well, that was very short version for sure. So, Randy, what did you think when Kathy came to you and said, hey, let's grow lavender?
Well, I'm kind of more of the research individual.
Ah.
And so when she said that, I said, well, let's take a look here and see what's out there and see what we can do. And actually, there was a wonderful research study that came out of Ontario, Canada, who has a very similar climate to what we have. And they studied like 30 different lavenders during the cold time, and they graded how well they did. And we took some of that information, and that's what we really kind of started with, the varieties that they had documented that seemed to do best in the cold climates.
And that is the key, isn't it? I think we get a lot of calls from people who say, what can I do to get my lavender to grow? And it does boil down to the varieties, doesn't it, Kathy?
Oh, yes, definitely. You have to make sure for a zone that you live in. Like, in Wisconsin has different zones, so mm-hmm. you have to really... And we've had pretty good luck with the ones that are hardy for zone 5 to 9. Some of those... Maybe not, but most of them have did really well.
And
we're in Brown County, right on the bay.
Sure. That makes a difference, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Randy, you're not a farmer. Kathy, you're not either. why did you think you could be successful? What possessed you?
well, my love of plants, and I like to play in the dirt. So that helps.
Okay. What about you, Randy?
I just kind of tag along with her.
She does what I said.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Actually, we have our strong points on different ends of the scale. And working together works very well from that standpoint. And, you know, based in this, we were like, well, let's give this a try and kind of go from there. You know, Kathy had mentioned about, you know, the zones and the different varieties. What we recommend is having different varieties of lavender that you plant, because some winters, all the winters are very different. And what you want to do is make sure you got a couple different varieties at least, because one winter may affect one of those varieties and the others will do better and vice versa the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, recommend having, you know, different varieties, not going all in on just one specific variety.
Yeah.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket philosophy, which is always good. So how many varieties do you have now?
We have 12.
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, I know there's a lot of them out there, but 12 is good.
We have a smaller farm. There's some bigger ones in Wisconsin, definitely. We keep it about 1,200. Just to keep it manageable for just a few of us that help here.
Mm-hmm. So how has your farm grown over the years? You actually obviously had to start somewhere. How did you do that? And what does it look like now?
so we looked for land in the sun because we were living in the woods. and we wanted to make sure the soil was good. And so we tested the soil before we bought the place, just so we wouldn't have to mend it too much. And it was perfect. So we have our land in the sun, and we experimented. We started with 200 plants in 2017, and then the next year they did well. So we added 500 more, and every year, every other, we'd add a couple hundred more. Yeah, that's how we got to our 1,200 right now.
That's what I've heard doing some research on lavender farms, is that it starts fairly small and then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, you want to try, oh, this color, this would be nice. Or let's try, you know, they're all so many different varieties of lavender. That's one thing people are surprised at. Like, oh, I didn't know there were more than 450, you know, types of lavender.
Right. And they vary by color and scent too, don't they?
Yes, and size, different stem lengths, different colors, and the scent, definitely. Each one of ours smells different. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, very cool.
So what do people see when they come to your place now? I mean, not now, in as far as, like, it's winter time. I mean, now that you've got
like
to this
July.
Place in your business, right?
In July, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty. The field is beautiful. Very serene. And we have a little like pop-up area where we sell handcrafted products that we make and cut flowers. All the different.
When individuals come here, they go to our website, info@PowderCreekLavender.com. And they can set up an appointment, and July is the best time mm-hmm. to come and visit. And if they want, we'll go and kind of give them a kind of a little rundown of all the different varieties we have. And we'll actually go and cut them and let them smell the differences in them. And, you know, ask them to kind of pick out their favorites and those type of things. So we kind of make it interactive rather than just having them wander around on their own if they want that.
Mm-hmm. Do you need an appointment, or do you have open hours?
Yeah, we usually schedule them. We want them to schedule with an appointment, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
If they show up, that's more than fine. But the appointments make it a little bit more manageable for Kathy and I, because we limit the number that are here at any one given time, so that gives us the opportunity to spend more time with everybody that comes.
Sure, that makes total sense. Do you have something to add, Kathy?
I was just going to say, we do have pop-ins, and that's fine. It works. We always make it work.
So let's talk about lavender growing resources. Now, you said you saw this study from Canada, but were there some other areas where you go to find out more about the lavender growing business?
Yes, if someone really wants to get into it, we recommend joining the USGLA, that's the United States Growers Lavender Association. You just get so much, like, input. You can ask anything, and you get a lot of people responding, you know, from around the country. And there's a lot of lavender farms in the Midwest now, in Michigan and Wisconsin, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So a lot of similar temperatures. And the book I really love is The Lavender Lover's Handbook by Sarah Behringer Bader. It's very good. Lots of information that I've used.
Oh, that's good to know, because there are a number of lavender growing books out there.
That's my favorite.
Sure. Not many that pertain to growing in cooler climates, though, I would assume.
No, this one covers all different zones. It's done really well.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Randy.
I'm sorry. The other thing is that there is the Greater Lakes Lavender Growers Association also that covers states that are, you know, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, in that area.
Okay. That's another good resource too.
Sure. So the Great Lakes Lavender Growing Association, was that what I heard?
Yep. Greater Lakes.
Greater Lakes. Okay. So what kind of soil is best for lavender? Because that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yes, very important. I'll let Randy answer that.
Yeah. What you want to do as far as the soil, you want either a sandy or sandy loam soil with a pH somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5. Lavender does not like to sit in standing water, so you need to have soil that drains very quickly. Otherwise, they will die. And a lot of individuals who have lavender plants, what ends up happening is they end up overwatering them, and that ends up being most of the time the reason they end up dying. So the other thing we did besides the soil, and Kathy had mentioned that, we kind of looked at that before we kind of bought the land. I also mounded all of the rows so that they actually sit a little bit higher. That kind of aids in the draining of the land so that they're not sitting in water.
Does that make them a little bit more susceptible for, like, frost damage?
If you have them a little higher like that above, the answer to that is yes, it does. We do cover all of our lavender every winter with a frost barrier cover. There's a couple companies. DeWitt is one company that makes the frost barrier cover, and also Agribon is another company.
So what are some good resources for the lavender plants themselves?
For the plant?
Yeah, where do you buy them?
Oh, sure. We recommend a lavender farm, because if you would go to any local retail, we just have not had luck with any of that. In the beginning, we tried that. So we've used a few farms like Washington, the state of Washington, Ohio, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. So they actually cater for that.
Have very good results with those. And they're the little plugs, like a little 2-inch plug.
Sure.
And when you buy them from there, typically they're wholesale, so you end up having to buy like a 72 count of them when you do buy them. So they're more for wholesale.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Kathy and Randy Meyer of Powder Creek Lavender in Pulaski. We're talking about their business and how to select and grow the best lavender varieties for our climate. If you have a question, please join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. And so let's talk about the actual the plants themselves when you put them in. How close together do they have to be?
That all depends on the variety. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, typically as far as, like Kathy said, is the variety. Kathy had mentioned that the lavender, depending on what variety you have, grow at different, the amount that they grow and how tall they get.
Mm-hmm.
So typically the larger ones, we put about 36 inches apart. But then the ones that are... the plants only get like 12 inches high. We'll put those like 24 inches apart. And then we have our largest ones that'll get, 4 feet high. Those are typically 42 inches apart. So it all depends on the variety. And you can look that up when you would research out a variety. And then typically they will tell you how far apart they need to be planted. And then our rows end up being 5 feet apart. And I do that so that the air can get between the lavender. If you put them too close together, they can get mold and funguses from that standpoint. So that's why we keep them kind of apart there. But that's kind of the distance.
And I've noticed that a lot of lavender farms will plant through like a fabric, black fabric, to keep the weeds down. Is that what you do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We do.
Definitely.
Okay.
It helps significantly.
if you don't, you'd be
that pop up.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about absolutely getting those weeds to not grow up. But yeah, in between your rows, what do you use there, Randy?
We actually have let everything kind of go natural from that standpoint. We do not use any chemicals or fertilizers or anything like that. So we do get some clover that comes up and dandelions that are in between at bearing times too. Mm-hmm. But I end up kind of mowing in between. I got a very small riding mower that I mow in between the rows. But everything is natural that comes up.
Okay. That's a good way to control it, though, just mowing. And then you have a nice little lawn in between to walk on.
Yep. And then I use a mulch mower so that the grass clippings go back into the dirt. And then they don't get all over the lavender plants also.
Okay. We've got Christy in Chippewa Falls with a question for you. Go ahead, Christy.
Hi. First, a plug. We have a new lavender farm in western southern Chippewa County called Pondview Farm. Fabulous lavender plants and a beautiful facility for groups to visit. My question is, how resistant to deer and rabbit are the lavender plants?
Ooh, the bane of all gardeners' existence. Yeah.
They are very, very resistant. Deer do not touch them. Rabbits do not touch them. And we know because we have a lot of deer and a lot of rabbits. But the one enemy, voles, V-O-L-E-S, they will chew them down to the ground in the winter. Sometimes the whole row is gone.
Oh, my.
That's the only. And if you look it up, it says voles do not eat lavender. Well, that's not true.
Wisconsin voles do, apparently.
Yes. And
yeah, they're very resistant to the deer and rabbits. Actually, we sold some of the lavender that we, when we trimmed the plants down, we sold them to individuals that are using them for mulch around other plants and flowers. With the hope that they will reach deer coming in to eat those, although they never got back to us on it.
Oh, that would be interesting to find out if that works.
But I do know they plant lavender in between the for wine out on the coast in California. They use it to keep the deer away from their vineyards.
Oh, yeah. So, Christy, it looks like you're in good shape there with lavender if you want to try to find a plant that the deer and rabbits don't like, which is kind of rare.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
So how long does it take for those new plants to produce enough for you to, like, cut them?
Well, they reach maturity at about three years. They will flower their first year, but it's recommended to pinch that off or cut them off so the roots can get more established. But you'll have flowers by the second year, but it's good to wait till the third to really cut them all off. And their lifespan's 8 to 10 years.
Okay. So you do want to keep a rotation of plants, especially for you all with a farm.
Right.
Okay. We got an email from Deb. It's like, do you have honeybees to help with pollination? I'll bet you do.
Oh, yeah, we do. As soon as they just start to open, the bees are, it's very cool. And the butterflies, everything finds it right away.
Yeah, it's a really good plant for pollinators if you're trying to pull them into your garden, I would think.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had read an article that said that you have, you've got beekeepers that bring in their bees. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, yes, we actually have a new one that is setting up. She started putting up some homes in the fall.
Mm-hmm. So then they get lavender honey, which I imagine tastes wonderful.
Right. It has it's a little bit different touch. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you how do you know when to harvest your lavender? What are the signs of that?
Well, depending on if you want it for the buds or if you would want it for cut flowers. If you wanted it mainly for, say, culinary, you would want to try to get them when you only see a couple buds open on the plant. So right before they're all fully bloom is a good time. But more for cut flowers, for bunches, you'd want them. to be close to peak, but not quite.
Okay.
It's kind of tricky. You learn the more each year you're like, oh, this is when, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because I would assume that if you cut them too late, then everything will fall apart.
Yeah, they will lose their buds quicker if you leave them on too long.
So how do you sell your lavender?
Well, we'll sell the fresh as bunches, or we dry them.
Okay.
We can dry the bunches and sell them for the buds or as dried stem bundles. We use the buds different.
We end up working with different businesses. We also wholesale out. So we'll wholesale out to florists, a couple different florists. And we also wholesale out to tea companies and juice companies. And depending on what you're doing with them will depend on if they want them fresh and when you need to cut them or if they want them dried, like Kathy was talking about, too. And then all the ones that we don't sell fresh, we cut those and we dry them, and then we sell the dried bundles, and we use the dried lavender in different products that we make throughout the entire year.
So what are the things that you make with them, Kathy?
Lotion, lip balm, eye pillows and neck wraps, and little sachet bags. It's a pretty long list.
How long does the lavender smell last on those?
A very long time. Sometimes I tell people, so the Egyptians used to use them in their tombs, and when they opened those tombs not that long ago, they still could smell the lavender. So you really can't, I can't, like, the ones we first planted, I still have some dried bunches from 7 years ago, and you rub it, and it's very strong. It's amazing. It's a wonderful scent.
It certainly is. How far down to the ground do you cut those stems?
You just go to where the woody part of the, you can tell on the plant, the greener, and then where it's woody, you will cut it right above the woody part, like a half inch above it.
Okay, so you don't want to cut the woody part of the plant itself, just the soft green stems?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can if you're cutting it down.
Okay, I'm sorry, Randy.
It's about a third of the plant, and we typically do that once they're fully bloomed. Then in August, we'll end up then starting to cut all the plants down.
Okay. So when you say cut them down, how far do you go?
And that's when what Kathy had said, down to the kind of the woody area, which is typically about a third of the plant.
Okay. And what would happen if you cut them too far down? Would they then not be able to overwinter? Is that why you want to cut them at that point?
Well, so the voles did chew them all the way down to the ground, and I thought we lost hundreds of plants. They all came back. We didn't lose, you know, maybe a handful, but so it was. They really did so much better than I thought they would be in all the way down to the ground, but we don't recommend that.
Now, go ahead, Randy.
When you read about it, they'll tell you to cut the green area, you know, that third of the plant down each year. I've been experimenting a bit with some of them that we've cut. We've actually cut down into the woody area. And they have done fine, but you really need to, if you do that, it's only in the English lavender variety. The lavandins don't do as well if you would cut them down lower. But typically, you just cut that green area off, and that's the best for them.
Now, for people who are trying to grow them in their garden, do you recommend they cut them down, or should you just leave them?
We found that the ones we don't cut down don't look as nice the next years. They're just not as healthy and vibrant. So I would recommend trimming them down after they've bloomed, like beginning of September.
Okay. So what are some of the uses that you can use for the lavender, like the lavender oil? And I know you can use it for culinary.
Yes. Well, there's so many uses that I could go on and on and on. So.
Well, we've got some time, so you go right ahead.
Well, the culinary definitely for a lot of different, you know, beverages and baking and grilling, and the buds, even the stems and the leaves are used for all the same things. You can make, you know, drinks and potpourris.
Do you distill the lavender oil yourself, or do you get that from other places?
Because we don't have the volume. If we had like 60,000 plants, like some of the farms have that and more, then it would be worth it to distill it. But we do not distill our own here.
Okay.
You do need a large volume to make it worth it, because it takes a lot of plants to get oil.
Yeah, for sure. So what if someone wanted to grow the lavender in their regular garden, what are a few of the varieties that you would suggest that they buy?
Probably would say Folgate. It did very well for us. Melissa, if they like a whitish pink flower, it did well. Royal Velvet. Very hardy here. Grosso, Munseed, and Hidcoat Blue. I think that's the.
We would recommend Lavendula and Gustifolia. They do the best in the cold climates. See, like I said, the lavender don't do as well.
Okay, so you kind of got to experiment, but it's a good list to start from. So when you go to your retailer, see what you can find in those. Don't buy them if they're not, because you probably are going to be disappointed, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, well, we've been talking with Kathy and Randy Meyer of Potter Creek Lavender in Pulaski, and thank you both for being with us. We really appreciate it, and good luck this year.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I just want to remind you that you can join us every weekday at 11 o'clock for the Larry Mueller Show. We'll be talking about hemp and cannabis regulation on Monday. And then at noon, we'll meet some of the raging grannies who express their political outrage through song. Thanks for joining us today for Garden Talk. I want to thank our team, Claire Neipert, John Joel Patenaud, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins. And of course, Larry Mueller. I'm executive producer Jill Nadeau. Hope you join us again next time. Thanks.